I can't see because I stabbed my eyes out.
Ding dong, daddy's home.
Oh!
You!
Fuck you!
Go away.
Okay, so confession time. I, like, you know, I don't throw myself on swords as a reviewer very often. There's, you know, generally I'm just like, yep, that's going to suck. And that's why I haven't seen an Adam Sandler movie in several years. But every now and then I know, you know, I should go see something shitty just so I can set my barometer to where it should be. And boy, did I hit a nadir. Yeah. And it was all due to Ashley asking me. I blame her.
This thing hit that level so low. It's like when you ride around too often with your car on next to empty that the needle can actually get stuck down there. I mean, that actually does happen. And I was like, I'm worried now every movie I see after this is just going to seem like
it's going to somehow strangely have Donnie Wahlberg in it. Please, well, God,
wasn't
no.
In this. Marky was
Mark.
In this.
Oh, Mark. That's right. Donnie actually not that bad. Mark.
Yeah, wasn't he in Ransom?
He was in a number of things.
He was in Sixth Sense.
He was in Band of Brothers and did a very good job in that series.
Let's talk about those movies.
Oh,
now,
wouldn't
because
it be nice?
You guys promised we'd never say this movie's name again.
No, I don't think I did promise that.
If you say it three times, it might show up. It's like Beetlejuice.
What a horrible thought that we'd have to sit through DH again. What initials are okay?
Okay.
I think.
Does that check out?
I don't.
Because I don't want to accidentally watch Daddy's Home.
Oh, no!
Two more times.
The story of this film follows Will Ferrell, who is playing a good-natured schmuck, like he does in almost all of his films, who is become the stepfather to two kids when he marries Linda Cardellini, who, by the way, is so lovely and such a good actress that she really should have had a better career since Freaks and Geeks than she's had.
Agreed.
Don't really know what happened there.
Apparently, Adam McKay has some dirt on that bitch.
Yeah, something. Yeah, but just wait. You haven't seen Adam McKay's film this year.
I know. That's what depresses me, because he is capable of good work, as is Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell is completely capable of good work. Hannibal Buress is, you know, one of the few good things about this movie. You know, he does some fun stuff
in
this.
Let me keep going with the plot.
Summary first.
All right, so basically, he's just starting to get the kids to get over being resentful of their dad not being there when guess who shows up? Their actual dad, who's totally deadbeat, Mark Wahlberg, plays the role of Dusty, who is immediately, like, the guy that everybody loves because he's cool. He rides in a big old loud motorcycle. He's big and
fucking
muscular,
hot.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Turns heads.
Totally. You can tell he's hot because the movie tells you that you should think he's hot.
He has manly
I can tell he's hot because he is hot.
He has manly
I'm not saying I follow around his acting career.
Yeah, you can be hot and not have acting chops.
Yeah, like, I have other jobs you could do than actor.
It's just like, I mean, you know, and don't get me wrong, I am not afraid to appreciate another man's beauty in the least, but he's such a fucking tool douche in this movie that you're just like, no, that's not attractive. And he's such a tool juice that a tool douche that I'm like, oh, you're acting like, well, like Mark Wahlberg actually is.
He is like the icon of masculine douche, and Will Ferrell is the icon of what a pussy douche.
Yeah.
And together you really hate both of them.
And together you get
a boring movie. Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. They try to set up this duality of like, oh, well, Will Ferrell's character, he's a schmuck, but deep down, you know, he loves the kids and he takes care of them and he's there for his responsibilities. And he sacrifices and takes shit because that's what a dad does.
Yeah.
And that's all that a dad does, apparently. And I'm like, you've got a really shitty opinion of dads, movie.
Seriously. and even then, the moment there's like, I mean, like, there's any sort of, you know, reason for his adrenaline to rise for once in his life with this competition with this guy that comes out of nowhere, he starts acting like the biggest douchebag who puts his kids in danger and everything. Yeah. You know, you're like, well, is there a point I'm supposed to like either one of these characters at all? I mean, other than the aforementioned big muscles and rippling chest and such. Like.
there was a moment where I kind of felt like Frodo in Lord of the Rings after he's poisoned and I'm like dying. And then there comes a bright light like Liv Tyler, but instead of Liv Tyler, it was Hannibal Buress. Yeah. And I was like, oh, thank God you're here, like a beacon in the darkness.
Well, I mean, that being said, his character is the most, I bet you anything he wasn't in the original script.
I bet you not, dude. They were like, we need a fucking miracle.
Yeah, we need like- something in this film because this is like, this script is bad and we already paid for it. They brought in somebody to go, okay, let's bring in Hannibal Buress to play Hannibal Buress, basically, and have no good reason in the script that he's there at all, and yet he is. He's they're like, oh, that guy's now living in
the house. He's there to make funny jokes about Will Ferrell being a racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. So
they make no sense in the context of the thing.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, the best lines are when he just says the shit we're thinking. Those I actually really liked, where he really is just walking around the set as Hannibal Buress. Yeah. Like, at one point, they want to reenact something because it would be funny. He's like, no, that would be dumb and trite.
That would be stupid.
And I was like, oh, thank God, Hannibal Buress, you stopped them. He's like, what are you doing here? Making a sandwich?
He can't stop everything, though. He could not stop the rest of this film from happening.
You don't think he has, like, PTSD, do you? PTSD.
I don't know.
From this movie?
I mean, do you think he's going to be all right? That he was like, probably doesn't even remember he was in it.
You think he's going to be able to come out of this and make with the funnies?
They might not have even paid him. He may have just wandered onto the set and they're put him over there and give him some lines.
Came over from craft services like with a joint hanging out of his mouth and a Subway sandwich in the other going, hey, man, what are y'all doing over here? Move the camera from him.
Because literally everybody else in this movie, except Linda Cardellini, is so stilted and unbelievable that anytime Buress says anything, you're like, oh, you're behaving like a normal human being. Even though your character would never work in the real world, I still believe you more.
There's so many running jokes in here, too, that fall so flat. Ugh. Thomas Hayden Church, who, once again, is one of those guys. Remember when we were starting to take him seriously?
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, sideways. Yeah. And he's an exceptionally talented guy.
He plays a Will Ferrell's boss, who is kind of a ex-jock from school type, who
runs a smooth jazz station because he hates smooth jazz.
Yeah, but in every scenario, all the dialogue he's ever given is like, "Let me tell you a story that is like has nothing to do with the situation." It's like the same joke over and over again that wasn't funny the first time. I can take movies like this usually because I'm like, well, there'll be one or two times I'll laugh really hard and the rest will be like white knuckle on it. But this just got me to the point where I was really angry.
On the inside, I'm a 15-year-old boy. If this movie wasn't for me, who is it for? Yeah. I did not laugh, sir.
Apparently,
the
crew of people, they bust in to see this because
that was weird.
They were acting like they were seeing like a Woody Allen movie at his prime. You could not keep them from laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, with just stupid shit like, Will Ferrell like says he can ride motorcycles even though he can't, like no one ever does ever. And then he drives it into the house and it ends up wrecking his car without putting a scratch on the motorcycle. Ha ha! How jocose! And like, we were literally all of us, so there was, it was me, Martin, Chris, and Ashley, and we were just looking at each other like, what the fuck is going on? Because the audience was going apeshit at this.
It was almost as if I kept expecting to turn around and just see a kid with a laugh track and a boombox. But there were people.
I thought
I was being punked.
I thought there were going to be five rows of evil clowns behind us, and then they were going to eat us.
The studio was like, we're looking for people who've never seen a film before.
No, because even that, you have some kind of arbitrary sense of right and wrong. They bust in people with head injuries.
They were like, that train is going to crash into us.
Well, and I guess ultimately, I was most annoyed with this movie just because it was boring and it took an hour and a half. But along the way, because it put me in such a bad mood and they had to take the camera off of Hannibal Buress occasionally, I would find other little nitpicky things that drove me fucking crazy. Like, one of them is that Mark Wahlberg's character sexually harasses every woman he comes into contact with. It was really weird. And then, Bo, you touched on this. Will Ferrell's version of dads is depressing.
Oh, God, it's
that they're
so
giant
horrible.
Pussies and nobody cares about them. And
well, it basically sets up that if you're a responsible human being who takes care of your shit, then you're completely unattractive. And it's like, no. That's what is attractive. Yeah. Like, only a child would be attracted to Mark Wahlberg's character in this because he's bullshit.
Ashley.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, I'll you know,
I don't want him to be a dad. I have other jobs for Mark Wahlberg.
Even when he took his
you won't have to act tonight, Mark.
Even when he took his shirt off, he was so like pasty and shaved. It was like, "Nah, dude, you need to put that back on." And I mean, I'm like, man, I saw Macbeth. Mike Fassbender took his shirt off. I was like, hey, all right, let's go.
Well, this is from the director of That's My Boy and Horrible Bosses 2, so make him, you know, he's not exactly on a...
Yeah.
He's only really done one thing in his career that was good, which was the first... He wrote the first Horrible Bosses with, I think, another guy, and that was genuinely a pretty funny movie. Sequel was fucking awful.
Yeah, it was the guy who was the little kid main character in Freaks and Geeks was the co-writer of Horrible Bosses.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I bet it was all him then.
Apparently, yeah. That's where the humor... Oh, my God. Oh, another nitpicky...
I know, what kind of...
He records... So, one of the jokes is that Will Ferrell's character is trying to get somebody to sing the tagline for the radio station that he works for, you know, WKNC. And, of course, you know, Mark Wahlberg's character does it. And then they're like, there's some bit where he's like, oh, I get $182 every time that airs, right?
I went, bullshit.
And I'm just like, no, that is not how voiceover works. At fucking all.
And the radio station went out of business in 7.5
Yeah, especially a smooth jazz radio station.
Yeah, no, maybe he gets paid like half a cent.
Dude, he's getting that sweet elevator cash. Y'all are in the wrong voiceover
apparently
business,
so.
Y'all. Elevator music pays.
Oh my God! Yeah, no, there. This thing is just like, yeah, there. I've sat through a lot of stupid comedies, and like Chris says, you know, they're generally you're like, all right, okay, cool. Yeah, you hit a sweet spot. That was kind of funny. I'll laugh and steal myself for the next one. These moments are non-existent in this thing, and I was literally staring at the ceiling at a point going like, please give me something to look at other than this, yeah. And give me a stroke so that all I have to deal with is the smell of burning toast.
I actually did pray for death at one point during this.
Yeah. You know, in the end of the day, it's not the movie's fault. It's my fault. I finished my semester of learning some science, and I got excited that I'd get to go to a movie with you guys. And so I signed up for every movie that was coming out in the next 3 days,
well,
and
funny,
I dragged your asses, and I'm sorry.
You sent, I even had an email. Nobody has to go see Daddy's Home.
And I don't see any of these emails. I'm like, it's final.
If anybody wants to see it, you can say you want to. And she's like, I'll see it. And even then, I'm like...
Really?
Yeah. Are you sure you understand what this is?
And I literally was like, yeah, I've got an audition that day. And you're like, what? You don't want to come see a movie with me? Don't you like me?
I know.
I'm like, I do like Ashley. How bad can it be?
I know. This is my fault.
I'm in the position of going, well, I can't make them go see it and me not go see it if I'm going to. I live right nearby the theater.
Yeah.
Like, I got to go now. And sure enough.
This is like, this isn't like somebody like falling on a grenade. This is like somebody taking out a grenade, pulling the pin out, and then gathering us all around it.
Yeah, because to be fair, it wasn't even going to go off. I was drunk and tired. It was like, I'm going to throw me a grenade and pull the pin out myself. And then I was like, you guys, I'm in danger.
Who needs a hug?
And they're like, damn.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, I guess ultimately I went, look, every once in a while, one of these films surprises the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually really funny. And the last movie these two guys did together, the other guys, it wasn't one of those films, but it was a lot better than it looked.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that actually made me laugh out loud a couple of times in it. So maybe this will be about on that level. If that's what you're hoping out there, America.
No. Not at all.
Trash on a Adam Sandler movie level.
It
should be thought of in exactly the same terms as that, because it's just that level of bad. I really despised it. This was, of this year, this was one of the hardest films for me to actually sit through all the way to the end. The only saving grace at all is Hannibal Buress, who gets a few lines in here are good that aren't even that written well. It's just the fact that the way he delivers them, you're like,
why is
he so funny? I can't
it's
be
like
mad at you.
Perfect timing or something, because he's just saying normal shit. It really is like he wandered onto the set and feels so bad for these people that he doesn't leave.
I'm going to give this a 1 out of 10. times to take Will Ferrell behind the shed out back and shoot him in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. It's about time, I think.
It got rough.
I think it's there in his career.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far, but the sentiment there at the end, I think, is really what got me the most on this. Is I like those fancy films, but I also have a very sophomoric sense of humor, and so I can also appreciate some dumb shit.
Yeah.
But this just wasn't funny, and a little bit to what you were touching on with Adam Sandler and taking him behind the shed. This is the first time I watched a Will Ferrell movie and really felt like it was just dated. The roles that people were playing were weird. Their interpretation of what a good dad is weird. The jokes fell flat. I don't know. This really didn't do it for me. And I guess enough time has passed since we went and saw it. I'm not really mad anymore. So
which is to say you were at one point.
I was. I'm moving through the stages. So I guess I'd like to say a movie whose name I shall not repeat. I give you 1 out of 10. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. You know? I'm sorry.
Deep regret.
Yeah, like, I mean, it happens to everybody, you know?
Yeah. It's okay. I'm sure next time it'll be better.
Yeah.
Wait,
well,
did this movie have premature ejaculation? Bo?
Oh,
it just takes
God.
A deep breath.
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, I feel bad about wasting thought on this movie at all, but yeah, I will say, you know, if you want to make a stupid movie, God bless you, but this thing is not only insulting in its stupidity, it's insulting that it tries to set itself up as something that's saying something about manhood and fatherhood and what it means to be a dad, and it doesn't. It doesn't say anything concrete about that because it completely contradicts itself with every fucking turn, and it makes me want to strangle it. It's a toxic piece of crap. I can't really phrase it better than that. I give it one half unwanted grope by Bobby Cannavale's doctor character.
Oh, that's
and when I say doctor, I use quotes.
Oh my god, that's right.
That was the equivalent of the
another guy. I adore Bobby Cannavale.
That's the equivalent of those moments in Adam Sandler films when like John Turturro plays a character. Or
Steve Buscemi.
Where you're like, why are you
did Sandler save Buscemi's life at some point? Because I'm just like, you used to be a firefighter. You were a noble guy and one of America's best actors. What are you doing?
Dying slowly inside.